Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Naked Talk with Alex Okoji. It's all about straight talk with some of the biggest global icons, leaders, entertainers, motivational speakers, authors, life coaches, relationship experts, social advocates, and extraordinary friends as they treat themselves, their experiences, and share their unfiltered thoughts about life issues. I believe in stripping the lies and empowering the mind through the freedom of expression. I'm unapologetic about being open, so I motivate my guests to tell it like it is and help my listeners build a presence of mind while finding their voice. So it's all about the best in authentic conversations with real people about real life experiences. So let's keep it unfiltered, unscripted, uncensored, and uncut. You're welcome to today's episode.
Oh my God, I'm very excited. First of all, you're listening to the Duchess of Straight Talk. Yes, the expressionist herself. And yes, I'm broadcasting live all the way from Nigeria. Lagos, Nigeria. Yes, the heart of Africa. Now, where are you guys listening from? Wherever you're listening from around the world, welcome to the Naked Talk with Alex Okoji. And yes, we're broadcasting live. First of all, I'm so super excited. Like, you can tell I'm hyper, right? Like, I'm really, really hyper. It's almost like I've been waiting for this particular show. And it's interesting because, you know, we're going to be having a rather interesting conversation. Now, first of all, on Talk Wednesday, we had a great, amazing show on Talk Wednesday with my guest, Nigerian actress Adora Uko. And yes, we talked about what it takes to be bold, beautiful, and big-hearted in the entertainment industry. And she did share quite a bit of her story, her journey so far, you know, as an actor, and her, you know, just her fashion style and peeves. And of course, she did share, you know, some funny tales about, you know, fashion faux pas, especially with the fact that she's supposed to be these fashion diva and, you know, a TV host. And we did have a pretty rather interesting conversation. And you know how it is, I kind of get people to talk a lot. You know, they get to share a lot of the things that they probably normally wouldn't share anywhere else. That's why it's a Naked Talk. Yes, expression is a sign of strength, not weakness. And this is the one place where you can feel comfortable to be who you really are. It's all about being naked. No cover-ups. We're straight up, you know, bare, transparent. And we tell like it is. Today we're going to be talking about cyber infidelity. Is cyber infidelity really cheating? With my guest, my very special guest, Dr. Marlene Weiserman. And oh, she's been rather magnanimous, you know, as we, I've been waiting for this show. We scheduled this show for how long? And of course, there, you know how it is, there are lots of pitfalls on the way, challenges. But, you know, she's been really magnanimous in trying to make this happen. And so I'm very super excited, and I can't wait to get into Straight Talk with her. Today the internet is fast changing the way people interact, and it's having an impact on committed relationships. People are chatting, they're flirting, and even bonding sexually. Now, the internet permits many to live out their fantasies. They can do and say what they cannot in real face-to-face encounters. Now, this sort of behavior can have an impact on relationships. Now, whether they're negative or positive, I don't know. That's why we have someone like Dr. Marlene Wazerman. First of all, she's South Africa. She's going to be live here all the way from South Africa. And she's a clinical sexologist, couples and sex therapist, and she's an author and a thought leader. And there's just so much more about her, actually. She's also an educator. We all know she's an author. She just wrote her new book, which coincidentally is Cyber Infidelity. It's called titled Cyber Infidelity, The New Seduction. And, she's also a parent. She's a partner. She's a sex advocate, and she's also a media personality. That's true. I can't wait to get into Straight Talk with her. I think my guest is here already. Hello, Dr. E. Hi.
Alex, hi.
Hello.
Nice to chat with you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. I can hear you very well. I can
Wonderful.
Hear you.
Wonderful.
First of all, let me say I'm very excited to have you here on the show. Welcome to the Naked Talk, and we're live. And I'm not even sure whether to address you as Dr. Marlene Wazerman or Dr. Eve. I'm not really sure.
you go with Dr. Eve. You know, it's kind of easy on the tongue. And also, it's really been a household name for 21 years. So Dr.
Yes.
Eve is what I'm yes. known as. That's my brand.
I know. And we're going to talk about that, actually. Your first name is really pretty. I like, you know, Dr. Marlene. This is something very regal about it. But of course, Dr. Eve is a household name, and it's a pseudonym. It's a name that you've been going by. And for the sake of this, you know, for the sake of our conversation for today, I think it's proper that I should call you Dr. Eve, because, I mean, that's the name that you wrote on there, right? You wrote the book. Let me ask you this first. There is Dr. Marlene Wazerman, who is a partner, who is a, you know, and she has a life. And then there's this other person, Dr. E, which, you know, basically you've been working, you know, with that pseudonym for a while. Do you feel like there's a difference between these two personalities? Are they two different people? I mean, for the sake of those who are listening for the first, you know, who are listening to this show, who are coming across your work or you for the first time, who is Dr. Marlene Wazerman and who is Dr. E? Like, can you tell us the difference between the both of them?
Yeah, that's kind of confused me for the last 21 years. I created Dr. E 21 years ago. And the reason was because 21 years ago in South Africa on radio, and my name is too long. Uh-huh. You know, Dr. Marlene Wazerman is just kind of clumsy. And so it just suggested to me, come up with a name. And so Dr. E was born. And over the 21 years, I have positioned myself, and I have become this brand, which stands for sexual health, sexual rights in South Africa, in Africa, and internationally. So in my therapy room, I guess people know me as Marlene Wazerman in academic circles. Internationally, that's who I am. But in my media life and in the brand and the promotion of the work, it's Dr. Eve all the way.
Okay. It's nice to know the difference, because I wasn't really sure. Okay, do I say Dr. Marlene Wazerman right now, or do I say Dr. Eve? But for the sake of, you know, media and the sake of the book that we're, you know, we're going to be talking about and the subject, I think Dr. Eve is probably more appropriate.
People get on and Google Dr. Eve.
Yes.
The history is there. The websites are there. There's all the information about me that I've created over 21 years. So it's really a rich history.
Yes, I know, because I was checking out your site. I mean, I went to MarleneWazerman.com, and of course I went to Dr. Eve. I think it's Dr. Eve that's here, Dr. Zeddy. Am I correct?
Right.
So, you know, just trying to, you know, get a hand of, you know, these two different personalities. And I think it's great, because, you know, it's just different parts of your brand or your personality, to put it correctly. But let's talk about the subject of today, cyber fidelity, infidelity, sorry. And you wrote a book, it's called Cyber Infidelity, The New Seduction. Now, for anyone who's probably listening, and they're wondering, what is cyber infidelity anyway? I mean, people just know what the standard infidelity is. But I mean, for someone who, the average mind, how would you describe what is cyber infidelity?
Yeah, so what we do know what traditional infidelity is, we all kind of have a good idea that it's people who are in committed relationships who break the traditional vows that they've established to having sexual contact with somebody else, and it may be emotional contact as well. But cyber infidelity has been born out of the device that we carry in our hands. The technology has created a new form of relating, and we all know that because we're doing it 24/7. And through this technology, the accessibility and the affordability and the anonymity, which is called the AAA engine, has afforded us a new way of relating, which we inadvertently find ourselves going in a heartbeat, Alex, in a heartbeat, from cyber chatting to cyber flirting to cyber sexting to actually meeting offline. So it's a very different form of infidelity, and most people don't even define it as infidelity. They just think that, as one of my clients said, and that's what the tagline of the book is, it's not that I'm having sex with you, because they're not defining it as sex, because for us, traditionally, what we imagine sex to be is a bodily exchange of fluids, right?
Yeah.
And it's not happening online, yet it is really sexy. And when your partner finds your text messages and the images that you send, they get really hostile, and they say, you're committing infidelity. You are betraying the trust and the specialness that we have. And the other person gets really confused, but no, I'm not having sex or anything. But the feeling of pain is intense because it feels as if it is a betrayal.
Okay, now let me ask you, having an idea now what, you know, cyber infidelity is, you wrote a book about it. Now, what is this book, you know, cyber, The New Seduction, what is this book about? I mean, what does it address? I mean, for anyone who, you know, a lot of people are probably curious about it and probably want to get a copy of this book. What does it address? What do you write about? What is the content of this book? What does it tell, you know, the average person about cyber infidelity?
So, yeah, so let me tell you a little about the history of how it came about. Ashley Madison, which is the world's largest dating site for married people, they came to South Africa in 2020. And I was very opposed to it. And I spoke out verbally against it because I thought this was an unethical application dating site to bring to South Africa, which, as you know, has such a high incidence of HIV, AIDS. And I thought it had, you know, multiple partners drive that. And I thought this was really irresponsible. And then over time, women came into my therapy room telling me that they had gone onto the site. And they started cyber flirting and chatting and sexting and going offline, and men and women. And these women were happily married. They weren't wanting to get a divorce, and they were feeling incredibly happy without any guilt. Their lives had become better with this experience.
Oh, wow.
And it became incredibly difficult conundrum for me to understand this. I then went back to Noel Biederman, the founder of the site, and I said, I want to do research. And he said, well, take my database of 39 million people. And I did. I took the database and I started doing research into what is this phenomenon which I call cyber infidelity. It's cyber cheating, online sex. And it's always done in secret. It's always done in secret by people who are in committed attachments of some kind or another. And what I found was incredibly surprising for me. I had five countries, South Africa and Australia, Canada, the UK, and the USA. I had 62,600 respondents, nearly half of them women. And the results have been astounding, fascinating. And what the book is the result of all of this research that I put together in a book. And the purpose of the book is to help people see that what they're doing every day automatically may well be defined as cyber infidelity, and therefore inadvertently breaking the trust of a partner who then finds himself or herself accusing you of something that you didn't plan to do, which was commit infidelity.
Okay, so let me now ask you, why do you think that some of these people engage in this online affairs or association, interaction, to put it, you know, mildly, interaction? Why do people, do you feel like it's this spun out of something lacking in their own in their own relationships? I mean, why do people engage in this online affairs, or why do they even start these interactions in the first place?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question, because one knows from traditional infidelity that the man is going to say, I feel sexually neglected, the woman's going to say, I feel emotionally neglected, and they use that as a justification for having a real-life affair. But it's absolutely opposite with cyber infidelity. My respondents are saying to me, I'm happily married. I get sex at home. I get emotional support at home. So I don't feel neglected. And the men were saying, I just want to have no strings attached sex. I want to be having some experimentation. And the women, I mean, the women, Alex, have been the most surprised force this entire process. The women in the space where there isn't any regulation, where nobody's watching what they're doing, they are owning the online space. They are seductive. They're being seduced. They're provoking seduction. They're going offline. They have come into their own in this online space. So it isn't the regular drivers of feeling I'm neglected. It's because I really am okay at home, but I actually want more. And I think it is quite reflective of us as a society today, where we have this absolute feeling that we deserve and entitled to more. We expect more from life and from relationships. And so cyber infidelity is like this newfound thing that we're doing, and we don't really think that it hurts anyone until we get caught. And then it's really difficult.
Okay, you know what, Dr. Eve? How about, you know, don't go anywhere. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back. Just stay.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. You're listening to The Naked Talk. It's so uncensored. She keeps it real. She keeps it straight. She tells it like it is, no matter who's afraid to bear.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. Pre-ordered your own specially autographed copy of The Naked Experience by Alex Okorji? From timid girl to confident woman. It will make you laugh, it will make you cry, it will make you cuss, but most of all, it will be a great resource for you and your loved ones. Log on to www.alexokorji.net to reserve your copy and win two VIP tickets to the book tour in MASH.
Okay, we're back. This is still The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. And yes, my name is Alex, and I'm broadcasting live from Lagos, Nigeria, the heart of Africa. Now, if you're just tuning in, you know, I've been speaking with my guest just before we went on the commercial break. I've been talking to my guest, Dr. Eve, actually Dr. Marlene Waverman, all, you know, globally known as Dr. Eve. And we've been talking about, you know, cyber infidelity. And just about her book, her new book, Cyber Infidelity, the New Seduction, as well as her thoughts and, you know, some of the research, you know, the content of the book and, you know, the research that she's done in, you know, getting the content basically for the book. And if you're just tuning in, don't forget you can join this conversation The number to call in is 215-383-3766. If you're calling outside the United States, please make sure to dial +1-215-383-3766. And yes, use your hand raising effect. Make sure you press 1 so I know that you want to contribute. Because if you don't press 1, I would just think you're just listening. So, yes, and of course, you can also get into the chat room and, you know, chat with us, sending your messages and your contributions to be read on the show. Or you can tweet at Alex Akurji. Just hashtag the Naked Talk and tweet at Alex Akurji, and your tweets will be read on the show. So just before we went, hello, Dr. Eve, are you there?
Yes, Alex,
are you here?
Okay,
fine. So I mean, we're talking about why people engage in this affair just before we went on the commercial break. Now, let me ask you, in your opinion, I mean, just before we get into all the other comments, in your opinion, you know, based on the research that you've done and, you know, the content of your book, is cyber infidelity really cheating? Do you think it's really, I mean, where do you stand, you know, around this subject? Is it really cheating? Do you think it's really cheating? I mean, aren't there, like, where does one draw the line in terms of the interactions that people make online?
Fact is, infidelity is one of the most painful experiences that any person can have. You know, the breaking of trust, that feeling that you're not the most important, not the one and only to somebody, is incredibly painful. But because cyber infidelity is something that we're doing, but we don't think it is breaking these vows, couples are forced now to go into these sex tech conversations where they have to rewrite their rules of relationship because technology has brought in this other element into their relationship. So couples need to decide for themselves what would constitute cyber infidelity, what would constitute cyber flirting, what would they say would be appropriate or inappropriate, and how much privacy should be allowed. Because cyber infidelity, if you're going to be keeping something secret from a partner, then you know, you're betraying a partner. There's a delicate balance between keeping things secret and having privacy, which I think people absolutely have a right to have privacy, but as long as it's not hurting the relationship or doing anything to harm the relationship. I think a very important new emergence that has happened, which is part of the newness of cyber infidelity, is that we no longer have only one form of relationship, which is that we marry, or that we're in a significant relationship, or else we're single, or we're divorced, or we're widowed. There are, as you well know, a number of different forms of the way people engage today, like casual sex, hookups, friends with benefits, polyamory, singlehood, ethical cheating. So suddenly the world is open for us, and we're saying, traditional marriage is not the only thing that I want. And in fact, I don't like what traditional marriage is. Let's renegotiate. Let's mold our relationship different. Because cyber infidelity has become one of the forms that people are using. It's one online. It's one of the ways that we are communicating. So let's do that in a way that's not going to be harmful. Let's agree to what we would consider the definitions are.
Okay. Yeah, but just listening to what you're saying, I mean, in some of these relationships or some of these interactions, hello, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Okay.
In some of these interactions, I mean, it's going to be very difficult not to build emotional attachment to some of these people. I mean, let me use myself as an example. I mean, there have been random situations where, you meet someone or you know someone, and someone, you're flirting with someone, or someone just says something really nice, and you kind of, happen it. Now, let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, I think 2007, about 8 years ago, my ex at the time, my fiancé at the time, I remember stumbling on a message, an SMS, SMS, you know, SMS he'd been exchanging with his ex at the time. right? Mm. And back and forth, and only for me to find this, you know, we had talked about a fantasy that I wanted to share with him, something that I, you know, and we talked about this, and we talked about it, and only for me to find that message and see that he was sharing my fantasy, he was passing off my own fantasy as his with his ex. And I remember,
oh,
even though they never... Hello, did you hear that? Can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm stunned.
Hello?
I'm listening to your pain.
You know,
what did you do?
You know, so even though he was passing off my own fantasy to her, passing off my fantasy, sorry, as his, and that was something he wanted to share with her. And I remember seeing that message and just breaking down. Like, I just felt, I never felt so betrayed in my life. Like, even though they
there
didn't have any, even though he never saw her, right? Even though he never saw her, I mean, he was with me physically, I still felt like there was more, right? Because this is something I wanted to share with him, but he wanted to share it with someone else.
Well, Alex, you've just
defined
exactly what we're talking about. And, I mean, you felt devastated, right?
Yes, exactly.
And was he defensive?
So,
Was he defensive about it?
I mean, he was pretty much like, look, nothing happened. Like, it was just a text. It was just an SMS. It was just chatting. And I'm like, no, you're not just chatting. This is, you know, there's more. Because this is someone that you have history with. This is someone you have an attachment to. You're sharing something that I think should be between the both of us, right? Because we're the ones in a committed relationship, but we're about to get married. And then you're sharing this with someone else. And I felt so emotionally betrayed because I'm thinking, that's not something you should be sharing with a third party. Like, it should be between the both of us. So even though he wasn't sleeping with her physically, I still felt like, you know, he was cheating on me emotionally. Yeah, so, you know, that's why I was asking you. Is there, like, you know, for the person who's, the people when they do this half the time, they don't, I imagine that they don't consider that they're actually cheating, which is why I'm asking you from a professional stand, you know, from a professional view, how do you, what do you, I mean, you did say, I mean, if you're hiding this from someone else, from your partner, then it obviously is, you're doing something wrong, you know. So I just want our listeners to have a better understanding of this.
That is a magnificent example of exactly what happens. And he probably had no intention to hurt you or betray you. But what happened to you in that moment was that the things that were special and unique to the two of you, he violated that. And it made you feel as if you were no longer the one and only to him. And he couldn't get it because he wasn't having this physical exchange of bodily fluids with her, he didn't see that he was doing anything to hurt you, right?
Exactly.
And that's where couples get such huge pain because they think that infidelity is only when we have physical contact. And what cyber infidelity is showing us, that it's the emotional contact that hurts as badly as the physical contact, if not more.
If not more. Probably even more.
It's much more intimate, you know?
Okay, but let me ask you this. Are there any benefits? Let's look at the flip side of it, you know? Are there benefits to people engaging in this kind of relationship? Like, do you feel like there are parts of it that, you know, there's something that is starting to benefit from, you know, engaging in this other relationship or this virtual relationship? Do you feel like there... you know, there's something they can take home to help the relationship that they have, the real relationship that they have?
Yeah. So cyber infidelity includes pornography as well. And a lot of people will say, when I'm online chatting and flirting and sexting, it feels for me just like pornography. Even though there's a real person on the other side, I'm using it just to get off, just to masturbate. So the benefits are definitely there while the person is engaging in the cyber flirting, cyber texting. You feel really excited, you feel happy, you feel alive, you feel sexy because there's variety and diversity in your life. So it has individual positive benefits for you. And you also feel as if it is more satisfying for you than your emotional and sexual relationship offline. And the reason for that is that many, many people in real life relationships do not talk intimately or sexually to each other. So think about what your real life relationship is like. And that may not be as intimate and personal as what you can do. Because when you have a device, you think that you're in an intimate space, you're in a private space, and you share thoughts and fantasies that you don't do with your own partner, which is pretty tragic. So you feel fantastically happy until you get caught out.
Okay, now let me ask you, I mean, because again, I mean, they're different, like, you know, you mentioned earlier about the different kinds of relationships and how, you know, come to a relationship, or how relationships are, you know, going beyond just being married or being engaged or being, now let me ask you, I mean, there are a lot of people who find dating online, for example, single people who meet online and start a relationship online, right? Now, is it possible, I mean, do you feel like there's I mean, with cyber sex or cyber incident or cyber dating or cyber sexting or whatever is going on online, do you feel like when people have even multiple partners online, like people can have multiple partners online, and they're, do you consider it like, I'm trying to imagine, because if I had someone who was online flirting with several other women or building different relationships online with different women or with different people, do you feel like it could be some form of an addiction, or it could be some sort of a problem, as opposed to someone just, I mean, I know that there are people who probably set up these relationships or these interactions, and they think that it's harmless because they probably just want someone they can confide in, or someone that, you know, someone adventurous, or some like you said, an adventure of some sort. But if someone creates a habit, whether it's a woman or a man, you know, someone creates a habit and starts to build sexual relationships online. For example, maybe today they have a new partner and they're sexting or exchanging images. For example, I know there are people who send nude photos or whatever it is, or video sexting or whatever it is called. Do you think that this could cyber infidelity with multiple partners, or having cyber sex with multiple partners, could actually be some form of an addiction? Do you think it could be a problem? It could also be labeled a problem for someone.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy around that, Alex. Is that an addiction? And in my book, I talk about the various forms of online behavior. Most of us are just what's called recreational users. That most people are watching porn because it's arousing and they can manage it to use it for the purposes of just great fun, either alone or with a partner. Most people are online because it's fun and it's what we do because we have the devices in our hands all the time. And then there is about 10% of people who really have a problem with being online and with having multiple partners. And those people would have the same problem offline as well. You know, those would be the people who, before on the internet, they were watching porn, going to strip clubs, or having masturbation that was bothersome to them because it was so frequent. The internet has made it way easier, that it's much more accessible, as I said. It's accessible, it's anonymous, it's affordable. They don't have to get dressed to go out to go and do that. So they can have multiple partners, and it can lead to being very bothersome in their lives. So, you know, as a therapist, I would want to assess whether this is something clinical, whether there is an anxiety disorder behind it, or whether it is, you know, something that really does require clinical intervention at that level, or is it just people who are online regularly, and because they're online regularly, they can dip in and out of the cyber chat, but it doesn't cause problem and mismanagement in their lives. One clinically has to differentiate that. I think, you know, we also need to talk about dating apps like Tinder and Grindr, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah. The dating apps, Tinder and Grindr. The dating apps, Tinder and Grindr, are you familiar with them?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yes, I am. Okay.
Right, okay. So they've brought in a whole nother way of dating. You know, the online dating sites like OkCupid, Match.com, they're around and they, you know, people have to engage with them and fill in forms. But these new mm-hmm. apps, Blinder, which is for gay men, for men, and Tinder, mm-hmm. which is for anyone, mm-hmm. they have brought in mm-hmm. instant, immediate gratification in a way. So with one swipe, you're able to match meet people. And in minutes, mm-hmm. you can actually be standing outside somebody's door who you've just been matched with mm-hmm. and meet them. And then go back in your car or back in the train or whatever vehicle you have and go back online and meet somebody else. So we are seeing a rapid turnover of people who are available for dates. And what that has led to, is a dissatisfaction and a lack of commitment. So I can be... I can go on Tinder and I can see somebody who I think is really attractive, and people are going offline to meet within hours, maximum 5 days, minimum 5 days, and then maximum 3 weeks. They're meeting offline immediately, and they're just checking each other out. And if they don't like each other straight away, they move on, and they set up the next day and the next day. So we're not committing spending time getting to know somebody. We're moving on.
Yeah.
And what that leads to, and there's been research on this, what it leads to is a sense of unhappiness in all of us, because we constantly feel there could be somebody better or there could be something better, and we're unsatisfied with what we do have.
Oh, because we're really out there. Okay, I'm going to ask, you know, just even with what you said right now, it just brought to, you know, it came to my mind. Like, isn't it also, I mean, yes, it's okay that we can feel safe behind, you know, the virtual walls, because, I mean, you're not physically there, so you can feel like, but aren't there also, like, safety measures that people need to take, you know, in situations like this, because there could be some form of predators hanging around this online spaces. I'm just saying. For example, if I meet someone new, and the person goes, "Hey, beautiful," and you know, some people are really weird. They just go, "Send me nudes," and I'm thinking, "Are you serious? Like, are you okay?" But I can imagine that there are other people who are probably desperate to interact, or who just feel flattered, or who enjoy the compliments or the attention that they get, and can easily fall prey to this kind of situations, because I'm wondering, I mean, especially I've heard situations where, I mean, sex tapes are leaked or even photos, just because someone sends someone a photo, a private photo of themselves, you know, and, you know, it's leaked somewhere, or this could be somebody, you know, you could have a stalker or someone who could show up. I mean, if you just said something like, you know, the other side, and you could meet someone who could be a kidnapper or a hired killer, or you don't really know who, So, are there safety measures, like, when you were talking to your, when you were doing your research and speaking to some of these people and trying to find out, you know, did they mention any kind of safety measures that they take online in terms of how do you know when to start to share personal information with, you know, I don't know, like there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's a very important point. And what happens online is because you form these very what's called hyper-personal intimacies, because it's so quick, and you start disclosing things about yourself so quickly that you may not even be sharing with your partner in bed with you. You feel as if this person is incredibly familiar to you, and you trust this person even though rationally. They're a total stranger to you. And you then begin to send photographs of yourself or your body parts to this person because it feels the most natural thing to do. It's like, you start out and you're chatting, you're then sharing your feelings, you're then sharing your sexual fantasies, and then you want to take it further. It's natural. And so you're sending body parts and sexual acts that you're doing, masturbating, photos of your breasts, of your penis, and you're not thinking, danger, danger, danger. You're thinking, this is an intimate person, somebody who I know really well, because you're seduced by the fact that this person is somebody that you really know. When in fact it could be anyone. And the danger, and we've seen it more and more today, is that there is something called revenge porn, which is a massive legal problem, where people then take photos when disappear and put it online. They go viral, and that's your life goal.
Mm.
So there has to be a great deal of caution to get out of this romantic notion that these photos are going to be safe with strangers. The sadness, I mean, there's a sadness in it for me, because I think it's fantastic that women especially, Alex, women especially should have that freedom to be able to be proud of their body and show off their body and send it into the world if they choose to without thinking, oh my goodness, it's going to be used against me. You know, once again, women are set up for possible violation through this online life.
True. True. Okay, Dr. Eve. I know, how about we take another commercial break? We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Just stay tuned, please.
QTAB Events, your one-stop shop for A-class events and entertainment, international artist management and promotion, logistics management, project management, and brand enhancement, with affiliates across South Africa, UK, Benin Republic, Togo, Ghana, Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, and Cameroon. Won't you rather let our dynamic team treat you like the respectable clients that you are, taking away the stress from your business? Taking away the stress from your business.
Registered member of Alex's Blog Community, ABC? Then what are you waiting for? Join now to receive updates and all activities on Alexander and Her Naked Thoughts at www.alexokoroji.net to contribute, interact with other interesting ABC users, and win special giveaways.
This is The Naked Talk with Alex Okoroji. It's all about straight talk with some of the biggest global icons, leaders, entertainers, motivational speakers, authors, life coaches, relationship experts, social advocates, and extraordinary friends as they strip themselves, their experiences, and share their unfiltered thoughts about life issues. I believe in stripping the lines and empowering the mind through the freedom of expression. I'm unapologetic about being open, so I motivate my guests to tell it like it is and help my listeners build a presence of mind while finding their voice. So it's all about the best in authentic conversations with real people about real life experiences. So let's keep it unfiltered, unscripted, uncensored, and uncut. You're welcome to today's episode.
Okay, we're back. This is still the Naked Talk with Alex Okoroji. And if you're just tuning in, I've been talking to the very interesting clinical sexologist, Dr. Eve, and she's been sharing quite a bit of information and sharing a bit of wisdom, really, on, you know, what cyber infidelity is and just, you know, how, you know, just the features or just the interaction that goes on and, you know, what happens and how we can become aware of it and what to do. And just before we went on the commercial, you know, on the commercial break, I was there. You know, something crossed my mind. Hey, Dr. Eve, are you there?
Yes,
Hello?
Of course.
Okay, something crossed my mind. You know, why I told you my. I remember a friend of mine who apparently, you know, her husband. She did stumble on email that her husband had been. Then actually, she's now a friend, but she really is a blog reader, you know, and, you know, sometimes you create interaction with these people and build a connection online. And, you know, she did, you know, say that, share a story with my community, and she said that she stumbled on emails, you know, her husband's outbox or something, he sent messages, and he had been writing his ex-girlfriend for 5 years.
Yes.
And sharing stuff and, you know, just telling, you know, how, I mean, even though she is here in Nigeria, his ex is all the way in London, right, and had moved on with her life, and he's supposedly moved on with his own life, but somehow they still have that interaction, and he's sharing all this, you know, all the things she was saying, you know, she read quite a lot of stuff about, you know, him sharing things that happened in their relationship, and, you know, just how, you know, he still loves her and all those, and, you know, even though she was all the way with her own husband in the UK, and they're here in Nigeria, she still felt like she couldn't go on with the marriage. Like, she just felt like she didn't know who he was, like it was a farce. Now, you being a couple's therapist, what would your advice? I mean, do you feel like when, you know, partners, when people find, you know, spot out their partners and find out, you know, that their partners are cheating on them online or, you know, engaged in cyber infidelity, do you feel like it's something that they can move past? Do you feel like it's something that they can heal from or they can move? I mean, what do you usually advise or what would you advise if there was someone who found out that their partner was engaging in some sort of online interaction, attachment, sorry, with, you know, someone else?
So,
how do you think, I mean, what would you advise? How do they get over it?
How did they get over it? That was one of the biggest conundrums for me. You know, we always have a problem with exes, Alex, because I think that we expect, as people, we expect that once somebody is an ex, we can just fall out of love with them and they're gone out of our heads and we should just move on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. And I think we need to acknowledge that as people. We don't just do that. For me, I tell my clients, you're terminating the relationship as it was, and now it enters into a new phase where you may just feel this to somebody who there's still an attachment to. It doesn't have to be a lie, but there is still an attachment. It feels really traumatic. So discovering the secret, because when it's kept in secret, like when he's emailing an ex and he's not saying to you, I'm emailing my ex, we're still having contact, but, you know, you're my woman, so don't be concerned about it. You feel less with. So in the beginning, when cyber infidelity started coming into my therapy room, I really didn't have any technical skills. I didn't have therapeutic skills because we don't have those skills yet in a academic way. In a clinical setting, we don't have it.
Yeah.
It's so new. We know how to deal with infidelity.
True.
And in the beginning, I started using all the models that are available to deal with infidelity. But it wasn't working because it's different. These were not people saying to me, oh, I want to leave my wife or my husband neglects me. They were saying, oh, I'm happily married, but I just want more. So over the 2 years of working with cyber infidelity, I've had to develop new tools and new techniques for intervening with these couples. So what I do now is I automatically say to every single couple that I work with, tell me about your online life, because we've got two lives now. We act in a certain way in real life, and we act in a different way online. And so it's important to see that there's a lot of richness in the way that we communicate online that we can take out and put into our real-life relationship. So say, for example, I have a couple who don't know how to they really avoid fighting, or they fight really badly in real life. They'll then get online, and they'll start WhatsApping each other and try to resolve the problem through texting, which is fine up to a point. But eventually you've got to take that and then continue it in a face-to-face way as well. So use technology to help you talk about it. But then also you do have to take skills and learn to talk about it in real life as well. So it's integrating the richness, the best of both worlds into your real-life relationship.
Okay. Let me talk about this. I remember I was reading your blog, right? And I remember, I think your first post for this year, it was something about sexual commitment, you know, you making a sexual commitment. I think it was in relation to the book. You write to the book and you're sharing that story. But you made a list of, you know, there are lots of questions you ask you. And so do you feel like we're all supposed to make, you know, make a sexual commitment, make a list of things that we, you know, intend to achieve in our sexual lives? I mean, I'm just saying, do you feel like couples are supposed to make, like, do you think that they're supposed to have this list of, you know, this sexual commitment, there's supposed to be a list that they're supposed to make in terms of how they can nourish your sexual relationships or how they can, because again, I'm saying, like, I know for someone like me, I want to put myself realistic. I mean, I don't mind that someone is engaging, interacted, but then it becomes something more if they're building an emotional attachment to somebody else. And it's very easy because even sometimes you start off something that's just as basic as a friendship, and then you realize you're starting to miss that person. Like, you just realize you haven't even texted the person today. Like, oh, my God, I haven't sent a message. You almost feel like you're neglecting someone you shouldn't really be neglecting, right? So, but do you feel like it's because of something lacking, there's something that we could be doing in our – I know you did mention that, but I want to know, that are there like, is there like a list, you know, something that we're missing out in terms of the things that we can be building or the commitment that we can make with our partners so that we don't push them out. I mean, because, again, there's something you said that was reminiscent, which is the fact that they're not complaining, they're fine with their life or with their real relationship, but they want more. So isn't there a way that we can give them that more? You know, do they have to go, more? Isn't that...
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In real life, people have got to keep being interesting people and being sexually interesting and bring in things like sex toys if that's what they choose, bringing in fantasies or discussions or being people that are just interesting. That's the responsibility we all have as people in relationships, to keep the relationship alive. You've got to be an interesting person. So by having more in terms of other people, it's not the best way to be going in terms of your own real-life relationship. Unless you want to be sharing fantasies or watching porn together, that's something that you can do. But we have to acknowledge that this technology is here and we're interacting with it one way or another. We're doing it. So let's rather be transparent and honest about it, because it's always the secretiveness, the secrecy around it that's going to hurt us so very badly. Can we take, can we have a relationship that feels safe enough to be able to bring in a discussion around other forms of sexuality or sexual play that you want to be having, and to keep talking about sexual needs and desires that you have with your real-life partner and not just with an online lover? You know, one of my, I asked the respondents, the women, why is it that they were online? Why is it they say they have sex at home, why they're online? And they told me they're sexually bored. The other thing they said that they went online for was because they wanted not just sex, they wanted more satisfying sex. And Alex, when I asked them what was satisfying sex, take a guess of what women think are more satisfying sex. What do you think it would be? What would you guess? Go on, I'm setting you up here.
I mean, you're asking me this. I mean, what would they think would be satisfying sex? I don't know, oral sex, masturbation, I'm not sure. What could they possibly be thinking? I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Yeah. Oral sex came second. What came first?
Oral sex
kissing.
Okay.
Was kissing and cuddling.
Kissing and cuddling.
Can you believe that? Kissing and cuddling, meaning...
Oh, my God.
That, not meaning that women... And men, because men told me the same thing, are not getting that in their real-life relationship. That basic intimacy that we yearn for because we go offline to have. They're not going offline and having kinky sex. They're going offline and having kissing and cuddling. I mean, it really makes you think, right?
And that's true, because, I mean, you're flirting with this person, and this person is telling you how he wants to kiss you from head to toe or something.
I mean, I'm constantly kind of chatting and anonymously, not constantly, every now and then I'm still chatting anonymously and getting a sense of what people are doing. And I'm quite horrified most of the time because I'm not on a dating site myself. But I check in with Ashley Madison to see what's going on in terms of my research. And recently, there was a man who started talking, chatting to me, and I chatted back because for me, all research. And he said to me he was 49 years old, and that he was looking for a discreet relationship. Now, people have to be really careful when you're online. You have to read the language.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote back to him, and I said to him, what do you want to do with me? I'm 59 years old. And then he came back, and he said, well, actually, I'm 54. So there was the first line. And he said, I'm 54 years old, and I live on a farm or whatever he does. And then I said to him, why are you looking for a discreet affair if you're single? Your status
exactly.
says you're single. And he came back and he said,
exactly.
well, actually, I have a girlfriend who comes to visit me every weekend with her children. So I said to him, you are a liar.
Oh my God.
And you are committing infidelity
exactly.
with your girlfriend. How would your girlfriend feel if she knew that you were chatting to me and weren't wanting to spend time with me in the week and then have time with her on the weekend? He said, no, she would think it was cheating. And I said to him, well, you're a liar then. You're committing infidelity.
But yeah.
You know, yeah, that's what people's experience is. It's incredibly hurtful. People feel really sore from that. You know, they feel sore. And because I am who I am and, you know, I don't really care, I phoned him up. I phoned him up and I said to him, do you know what you're doing to other women? You're setting them up. You know, you're a liar. You're practicing infidelity. You're going to hurt your girlfriend. Don't do this, man. Practice some integrity. And, of course, he got really pissed off with me and put the phone down, but that was fine.
Oh my God, this is just crazy. But you know, not only is he trying to cheat, he's already lying to this person he's trying to build something discreet with. Really, because I mean, he's already deciding to lie about his age and lie about it. How do you even know he's a farmer or he's whatever he says he is?
That's
who knows, right?
You don't.
Oh,
and that's why people go offline. They go offline within, you know, 1 to 5 days of chatting because they want to see. We all really want to see if this person real. We want to feel it before we really get involved in it. And that's an important thing to do. So that is my advice. If you're on a dating site and you're chatting, get offline quickly. Meet the person. Don't see it as this is going to be my mate for life. See it as an introduction to somebody new. Then your expectations are lowered and you're not going to get that hurt. Just be sensible about the way that you interact online. Don't go because you're needy, you're hungry, you're bored, you're lonely, you have low self-esteem, because then you are making yourself incredibly vulnerable to be hurt and misled.
True. Okay, you know, just before we go, because, I mean, we do have a good time, but I know it's 1 hour, and, you know, I can't keep you here for too long.
Guess what, Alex? I have to go to bed because I'm doing my first TED Talk in the morning.
I know. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Congratulations. Congratulations on that.
I'm going to send you the link so that you can send it to all your followers when I'm done.
Yes, I will. I'll definitely, you know, send it to me and I can put it up on my blog as well. And we're going to have this up on my blog when we post your update. But, you know, I know you need to go to bed because it's actually almost midnight there in South Africa.
Yeah.
But, you know, just before you go, I need to let my listeners know, where can we find Cyber Infidelity? We need to buy the book. Where can we get the book? How can we get it? What do we need to do? Where can we find it online?
Yeah. Yeah, it's available on Amazon, on Amazon.com. Cyber Infidelity is there as a, you can buy the hardcover, and obviously it's there in Kindle version as well. So please get onto Amazon.
Okay.
You can get onto my website. It'll cost you a lot more money because you're going to have to get it posted from South Africa. So get onto Amazon.com and get the book over there. It's freely available.
Okay.
Come on to Dr. E, follow me on Twitter, and there's so much cyber chat.
Yeah.
I'm constantly sharing new research, new information, and generating new conversations, and I want people to be sharing their concerns on my Facebook page and on my Twitter line. Let's talk about it so that we get clarity and we don't end up getting hurt, you know?
True. You know, I actually found your page very interesting because, you know, you're sharing quite a lot of information on both your Twitter handles. So Yes, and I'm definitely going to be sharing that information with the listeners. But let me kind of let you go so that, you know, I don't keep you, because you have I know you have a very, very important morning tomorrow.
Yeah, very
but thank you so much for coming on this show. And I hope I can get you back again, you know, some other time. Maybe we can talk about something else, something to do with. I know there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot of wisdom you have to share. I know you do have a sex toy company and a lot of other things that we can talk about.
Well, it'll be great to talk about. I'm going to Lisbon in September. There is the first ever non-monogamy and contemporary intimacies conference, and I'm presenting a paper there on cyber infidelity. And I think after that, when I get back from my travels, we'll have a lot to talk about in terms of polyamory and swinging and new forms of relationship. So that will be a great conversation to have.
Okay, that'll be really interesting, because I write about love, life, sex, and relationships and reality on my blog. So it'll be nice to have you back on the show. We can talk about something else. But let me let you go so that you can have a great breath before your sex talk tomorrow.
Thank you so much for being
Like nine of us. Yes, it was nice talking to you too. Really nice. Okay, guys, if you're still listening, that was an interesting conversation with Dr. Marlene Weiserman, you know, otherwise known as Dr. Eve. And it was very interesting, you know, just having her share all of that wisdom, you know, wow, the things that happen online. You know, it's something that we don't actually consider that cyber relationships or online affairs are actually really considered as cheating. I mean, but, you know, just before, I mean, if you're just tuning in and you missed out, you know, a conversation, let me just recap a little bit for you. You know, just before I got on the show, I was letting people know that today, you know, the internet is changing the way people interact, and it's having an impact on committed relationships. People are chatting, flirting, and even bonding sexually. Now, the internet permits many to live out their fantasies. They can do all of these things. I say the things that they cannot in real face-to-face encounters. Now, this sort of behavior can have major impacts on relationships. To some, an online affair is just as harmful as a face-to-face, which could include online sexual activities that involves other activities, sexual materials, participating in an exchange of ideas about sex, exchanging sexual messages and online interactions with the intention of becoming sexually aroused. But yet, people consciously or not consider this online dating sexual relationship as real because they experience a psychological reality similar to those elicited by, you know, other offline relationships. Now, according to many, it may also involve experiences typical of other encounters such as sexual arousal, masturbation, orgasm, and satisfaction, though many consider it to be harmless. And, you know, and so it was really, really great to have, you know, my conversation with Dr. Marlene Weiserman, otherwise known as Dr. E, I mean, popularly known as Dr. Eve. And I'd like to hear, you know, just share a bit about her research and, you know, her new book. And I think it's really, really important for everyone to listen to get this book because, like I said, you know, technology is here to stay. That's the future. I mean, look at us. You know, we're leaving the traditional way of doing things. I mean, here I am posting a show online, you know, internet. And so interactions have, you know, all the social networking and all of that, interactions have obviously gone on to, you know, become virtual and gone on to cyberspace. But also, you know, it's also affecting, having its own impact on relationships. And so traditional infidelity, you know, is taking a backseat because now there are other ways that people are bonding and sexting and doing other things, you know, and having the experiences and the adventures that they want. And again, you know, like you know, Dr. Marlene said, you know, one cannot be too sure. I mean, if you feel like if you consider it harmless, but then you're hiding it from your partner, then obviously you're doing something wrong. So if you feel like, you know, you would not want your partner to see what you're sexting or what you're sending somebody else, or if you feel like you would hurt them if they encounter that or if they came across it, or if you feel like you'd rather leave it a secret, then obviously you're doing something wrong. Well, just before we wrap up the show, it's been an interesting, first of all, this episode of TNT 22 is brought to you by our friends at Evolution Magazine. Evolution Magazine is all about giving your hair a voice. And, of course, the Green Key, the hair side of life. And you can find them at www.evolutionmagazine.com. And, of course, the Tune Your Clergy store for the best in books, music, movies, intellectual property, all your favorite shows and events. Log on to www.tunyourclergy.com and, you know, check them out. And, of course, you know, our friends at QTV Events, Entertainment and Events, yes, for your, you know, one-stop shop, A-class entertainment company. You can visit them at www.qtvevents.com. And, yes, they are also handling, and they're the host of the hashtag SYC. Hashtag SYC is Share Your Closet. And it's a Jagadeep Paul Foundation. The SYC is the Share Your Closet charity event hosted by the Jagadeep Paul Foundation, organized by the QTV Events. And if you're interested, it's really about sharing your closet and giving back to widows and the less privileged in slum areas, and basically empowering them. So, yes, you can share, you know, quite a number of stuff if you really want to be involved. Check out the hashtag SYC. SYC. Yes, I'm involved. I like to support charity. It's always important to give back and just empower. You know, all about empowering people. So, don't forget, you can contribute to the SYC. Join them, and there's so many things you can give back. You know, yeah, that means you've got clothes that you don't use, home appliances, you know, things at home, that things you probably just throw away. You can give them to people. You actually give it to people who need it. But if you need to find them, just check out the. Go to www.qtvevents.com or check them out on Twitter. At QTVEvents1 on Twitter. Yes, I can get all the information you need. Okay, guys, it's been an amazing Friday radio special. What have I missed? Let's see. Don't forget to check out my blog, Alexandra and Her Naked Thoughts, at www.alexacurgy.net. Yes, at alexacurgy.net. Yes, and you can get, what's it called? You can read out all my posts. Yes, don't forget, I write about love, life, inspiration, sex, reality. It's all about my unfiltered, random musings. And yes, Ask Alex Talk Therapy is available every Friday to Sunday. So if you need clarity, right, you can visit my booking page. Just go to my official website, www.alexclergy.me. And, of course, click Ask Alex. And, just click on booking page and you can visit my book page. Or you can just go directly to my booking page, sorry, askalexthefitmore.com. And, you can book a session and we can have a one-on-one virtual self therapy. Okay, guys, have you downloaded my mobile app? Yes, the Alex Ecology free Android mobile app is available at the Google Play Store. Don't forget you can download it there. What else? And you have to put everything else that I'm involved with. Let me see. What am I missing? Oh, yes. Our webinar. The Naked Challenge 102 is coming very soon. If you missed 101, you can still sign up and get free access to watch the live video recording. So we come back same time next week on Talk Wednesday, a Friday radio special. I absolutely, absolutely love you for listening.
It's some scriptures out. It's some filters out. It's some thoughts. Damn and censor. It's some scriptures out. It's some filters.
Listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorochi.